Hey, everybody. Thanks for watching the podcast. The Golden Retriever of Comedy Tour is coming to an end. We got Larchwood, Iowa this Friday, Grand Falls Casino. And then I'm going to be running my hour in Omaha, Nebraska at one of my favorite clubs, the Omaha Funny Bone. I'm going to be there May 15th and 16th for four shows. I'm bringing Sag Daddy to God. We're having a hell of a time. And then if you live in the New Jersey area, I'm going to be there in June at the New Jersey Performing Arts Center on June 5th. That's Friday, June 5th, one show, and then the tour is over. DanSoder.com, all tickets are available right now. Please go get them, and I'll see you on the road before I film this hour. I'm very proud of it. I think you'll like it. And then the new stuff. And then the new stuff. But thanks for watching the podcast. I hope you're doing good. You never know what someone has going on inside their own head, but you also sometimes don't take into account what you have going on inside your own
head. But it's show business, and what people have going on inside their own head is like, oh, you're a nightmare.
Yeah.
You're my living hell.
If they did an updated version of that Mel Gibson movie, What Women Want, but it's just in the entertainment industry, it would be a horror film.
I've always wanted to remake Falling Down.
Yeah, with Michael Douglas.
It's a pretty funny movie.
It is very
funny. If you kind of take out the end where he's just trying to see his daughter or whatever, yeah, the rest of it's, you're kind of like, yeah, get him.
The McDonald's scene.
Yeah. Oh, he's like, no, that's all of us. You cut that out. That's all of us.
Have you ever seen someone's bit and you can pinpoint the start of where that bit began? Where you went like, I bet that happened to you. And then you got all the rest of this bit.
Yes.
Falling down that McDonald's scene. I went, that probably happened to you. And then you wrote this whole entire movie.
You know what? I got a couple other grievances. A couple other things.
Who could string this together?
I was overdoing an alimony payment. I was having a rough day. I missed breakfast at McDonald's. You know, I can get 90.
I am a vet.
I can get 90 pages out of this.
Yeah. You like that movie specifically, you see that McDonald's scene and you're like, that had to be the inspirato.
Well, I've always thought like you could redo it as a comedy if it's just a day of frustrations, of traffic and everything. It's real funny in its own right, except now the whole, and I want to get a gun and shoot up places. People do that now.
Oh, God.
That now, part.
Let a white boy get some motion.
We got a heart out there, too. Yeah. Would you want an Egg McMuffin at 11 o'clock?
You could argue that every Ben Stiller movie is falling down but funny. Like every character.
What's the one where he like makes friends with Adam Driver, like they're the hipsters?
Oh yeah,
that while we're young.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It is a little bit like, oh yeah, there was a little bit element there, but
there is like Meet the Fockers and stuff. Just everything he's like disrespected.
Falling down with Ben Stiller. It honestly, it works.
I think you could do it. I think it's a seamless where you put him in the same position. And you go, oh, it's just funny.
Yeah. Just turn it up a little.
You just have
to lose the weird flat top. Lose the Michael Douglas emo glasses flat top.
That's what makes it a
and
drama.
And let Stiller get flushed. You know what he does. You let him do what he does.
Wind him up.
Yeah.
Let's make it be funny.
Ben, we just need classic you right now. You already know the scene.
And Ben. That's how they direct it. Yeah. And
you do
Ben.
You do the thing you do.
Yeah, because that is one of those movies where the older you get and the more frustrated by smaller stuff you get, falling down becomes less and less of a drama and more of a just...
Somebody had the bit. It was about, what was the Gran Torino? They're like, Gran Torino, that's my grandfather, except he thinks that movie's real funny. I forget whose bit it was. I got a laugh out of everybody. Yeah. I laughed at some of the wrong parts of that.
Yeah, Grant, I mean, that movie, what's crazy about Clint Eastwood is you would think at that age that he acted and directed it, that would have been his last movie, but he just stays alive. Like the sister in Pet Sematary. He's just so gross and weird.
There was some picture, old. Like you could tell he had, like is the thin, and the pants were just buckled, hanging onto the last rib sticking out. That's the only way they're staying up.
Yeah, it is.
He's yelling action.
He's like, I don't like
Doesn't have the cone, the old-timey bullhorn.
How am I supposed to talk to the actors if they can't? I mean.
Where's the crank on this camera? No.
The Obama empty chair thing was so funny in hindsight. I mean, and when you watch it, it's just so, it's such a bomb. Go back and watch it now. Now that everything's on fire, go back and watch that. Because you go back and you watch that and you go, oh man, this was so much better entertainment.
Pop going a little nutty on this one. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, Obama.
It's just like. It's the one when the grandkids are like, no, let them run with it.
Yeah, dude. But they're holding it in.
Yeah, it's like, sad. No, it's sad. You can choose to be sad.
I don't know. Judy won't shut up. She's crying. We can't let him do this. And you're going, he thinks he's there.
Yeah.
Or if you put an earpiece in him, like fucked with him, and then just someone did an Obama where they're like, fuck you. And he's like, I didn't say that. Actually, I think.
Just at night.
I think you were a pussy in those spaghetti westerns. He's like, fistful of dollars, more like a fistful of shit. He's like, I'll get you, Obama. Obama.
Now, okay. Yeah, just a Bluetooth speaker in his bedroom.
That's what it is. That's. We're not taking advantage of pranking the elderly as much as we should be. They're on the edge.
Okay.
They're living too long.
I'm going to let you defend this standpoint.
They're living too long.
We need a long sip of my Waterloo. Will you go ahead and say, we should be pulling the wool over these oldies' eyes.
Why are we just selling them gold? We could be selling them everything. Dreams and hopes. Yeah,
they fall for tons of shit.
You leave going, I didn't know Soder was a rub my hands kind of together, I have a plan kind of guy. Oh, Kyle, we can take all their money.
If you had your will in place when it was supposed to be in place, you wouldn't have to worry about people like us coming through maybe and if pilfering.
Maybe if you didn't go to that, maybe if you went to that notary.
Yeah, remember how your grandkids were like, get your paperwork in order, but you didn't? That's what we're doing now.
My grandmother hit an age where it became like she was refusing to take, I got her in home care, mm-hmm. so like a nurse would come by. She was like 94, 95 when this is happening.
Yeah.
She wanted to live alone. I talked to a doctor who said that's really good for their mental health if they can live in their own house because they know where everything is and they're kind of like in grooves.
Yeah.
Going to the kitchen. They know how to make coffee and shit. Because she got COVID and I was like, is this when I should put her in a home?
Oh, okay.
And he was like, no. Keep her in there, but get her in home care or whatever. Mm. And then I started noticing like, dude, my grandma has zero idea what's going on in the world around. She was just like absolutely locked in a way, but she wouldn't sign over power of attorney. So like she treated me like I was a 10-year-old boy.
Did she know what that meant?
Yeah. She was still with it. And I was like, hey, power of attorney, kind of if something medically happens to you, I can come in. Yeah. Right now, I don't have any power.
I can hide Bluetooth speakers under your bed.
That's what I want to do.
That's what this paperwork says.
And play Monster Mash. And hope that you have a heart attack. Yeah. No, but it became a point where this was hilarious to me because she like wouldn't go with me on it. I would visit her and be like, hey, I need you to get these power of attorney things. And then I could, and she'd be like, why? And I'd be like, well, okay, something happened. And she'd be like, why? And she always was like, no. And then she
kind of funny.
Yeah. And then she met my fiance and trusted her way more. And she was like, I'll sign him, but Katie has to be there. And I'm like, you don't think I could just pick up some strumpet to lie and work? You dumb asshole. I should have ripped you off. Because she eventually signed him and we went to the notary. But the whole time she's like, I'll only do it if Katie's there.
I want a witness. I want a trustworthy witness.
Yeah, and you're like, no wonder our family has so many fucking issues. My grandmother wouldn't even be like, no, this is just in case if I have to pull the plug, which I did. No.
She was mid-90s, and I guess my dad went over there one day. She was just sitting on the top of the stairs, was like, sat down, was like, done. And that's how she died.
No way.
In her own house.
Sat down at the top of the stairs.
Sat down at the top of the stairs. Was like, I'm out. Like
that is
kind of
the greatest
kind of hardcore. Yeah.
That's the way you want to go.
Yeah. Got my first Playboys from my grandmother. Me and my cousin were doing yard work. She's doing one of those things like we just throw cherry tomatoes at each other and then she'd give us $50.
Yeah.
But then we come neatly with twine, organized stacks of Playboys from decades. My grandfather had passed at this point. He's like, well, your grandfather's dead. I don't know what to do with this. And I was like 15.
Perfect.
I mean, I, you
you're
know,
running on.
I was late to the game of getting my own stash at 15 years old.
Yeah.
And
I'm trying to think how,
you know, the woodland, the classic woodland pornography existed, but this was for me. And me and my cousin were like, she's still with it. Like she's not cuckoo like this. And we had so many. Like, we're just putting them in the trunk. Like, are you calling our parents?
You think it's a setup? You make her, you hit her chest to make sure she doesn't have a wire on.
Yeah. Like,
hey, what are you, fed?
What do you think? We're,
yeah. She goes, also, I got this chronic blunt. You want to smoke the, you want to smoke the stickiest of Icky?
I mixed my pills again. You just sort them out for me.
Take a handful. We had feel what it was like in the 30s.
We had so many bundles that we tried to trade them at like this dirtbag go-kart track. We can't all, we can't just walk into our homes with this. We have parents that are home. Like, yeah. So we're trying to give, I remember it was called Sylvester's Race Carts, Melrose Park, Illinois. Just an empty lot with spare tires and a guy with like two go-karts.
Great.
Some old Polack with like a spider web tattoo across his chest.
But this always goes to the rule that we need, our golden rule needs to come back of, if you own it, you need to work there. Because now I don't need to go to some super clean indoor track owned by a financial private firm.
Yeah, it's that's a never private been equity. And it's just the dads smacking their kids because this is the path to NASCAR now is go-karting. Yeah. I saw that first. Not the smacking part, but like, you need to shave seconds off this lap. I'm like, we're next to Topgolf. Most of us are drunk. Calm down.
Yeah. No. Yeah, I don't think your kid's going to be in the Daytona 500 in 5 years.
This was dirt track. Your shoelace is wrapping around the front wheel. Just governor off on the lawnmower engine, and this guy going, looking at my cousin's trunk full of Playboys, like, have these already.
That's really
but with so, he's like, you go how long you want. He just let us do laps all day. He just
everything
thought it was awesome.
In here I've come to.
Yeah.
You
I know
fun.
These ladies.
But old porn was cumbersome because you had to hide it. You couldn't just like have a bookcase of porn in your room when you're 15.
Well, okay, so I know you like divorced parents and stuff. Did you have privacy in your life enough to stash?
I
did not.
So my stash, my mom. I was raised by a single mom, but I'm an only child. I didn't realize that's a different relationship until my fiance saw it enough that she's like,
okay,
you're one-to-one in a weird way. It's like roommates.
You're involved with each other.
Yeah, but there's a privacy of like, that I don't think, if there's a privacy you get single mom, only child, that you don't get if you have siblings with a single mom.
Okay.
Because the single mom's like, I'm trying to take care of all these kids. I got to be in all these rooms.
Yeah.
My mom was kind of like, so one time I had a bunch of Playboys.
Mm.
Maybe like a penthouse or something, a couple magazines, top of my closet under this thing that you had to move, right? Mm-hmm. Well, she was trying to find something in my closet, clearly moved it, found the magazines, took them, didn't say anything.
That fucking move.
I'd prefer that. Because I went and I reached.
So you know she knows.
I reached.
She knows you know. We're not mentioning it ever again.
That's what it is. It's a terse. You know what it is? It's the demilitarized zone between being a mom and a son where you go, I won't cross here and you won't cross here.
I was a goblin. I was like, my cousin, so we had the one. My cousin tried to bring him into the house like under a sweatshirt. I just walked in like he was holding a sweatshirt.
Why is it that we always.
Like it was like a tray of lasagna when he walked in. I was like. Oh, Kyle, here's your sweatshirt. I'll bring it in your room for you.
Delicately.
As soon as he walks out, he's like, what was in the jacket? I'm like, because I can't lie. I can't lie. So I'm like, geez. I knew she had just, for some reason, just stashed him under the bed in her room.
Like, so, instead so you can
of,
just go
instead
get
of
him
throwing
back.
Him out. But I'm like, well, I can't just take him. So I went and I tore out all the pictures. That's great. Like, I have to look back, not being a parent myself.
Sure.
But look at what my behavior was as a kid, and just if I was a parent being like, Jesus Christ.
Can I tell you something you just said that made me feel a lot better? I didn't want to admit this, though, but in my stash, a lot of torn out pages. There were just torn out pages, like stacked in between magazines. I was a torn out page guy. If I was somewhere and I saw porn, I'd be like, and I go, that's going on with me. Oh, girls in the Pac-12?
Fold.
Arizona State? You're coming with me. I had torn out pages all over the place.
Yeah, I'm not interested in this interview with Walter Cronkite.
Oh, Burt
believe
Reynolds is back at it?
Yeah, believe it or not. I mean, Smokey the Bandit was badass, but I don't know. I'm not going to read about it. Yeah, I had that. I had,
so she would take them. Go put them in her room under the bed.
She stashed that one grip of them were stashed. I had all the pictures torn out.
Yeah.
But then, okay, you go to Tower Records, you're getting your own. There was a drop ceiling in the basement, real flimsy, like press board stuff. Yeah. And I just had it all up there. But then I just came home one day. My mom's like, there's a mess in the basement. I think it's yours. Go clean it up. So in the laundry room, just the, it gave way. It just showered my mother in pornography. And
what was she doing? She was just like,
nothing. It just, the ceiling just, it was like crappy press board.
The weight of your horniness.
It was, I had it. Yeah. I was bolstering the foundation with what I had up there. It's like when they open those radio towers and it's just a squirrel's been putting acorns in there for the last 20 years. Like, yowza.
There is an energy. First off, your cousin coming into the house like a shitty assassin with a gun under a thing. Like he's trying to kill a president.
Hold a sweatshirt with two hands. Idiot. Like this.
But the energy of, like, hiding porn and being creative in it is something that kids that just look at internet porn will never understand, of like taking something and finding something in your house where you go, yes, I had these drawers on like a shitty cardboard bookcase that was just in that when I was a kid where all my books would go, you know? And then when my mom sold a bunch of them in the garage sale, they were all empty. That's when I had a fake ID and I started buying VHS porn.
Oh, man.
So I just had VHS porn in there and she never looked. And I had a good 10.
Faced up? Like,
it was, like it was, so, it was in the closet against the wall.
Oh, okay.
And there was like sneakers and stuff in front of it. So really, you would just like knock them away and then pull it out to get like splat on my rack too. Oh, God. The original mixtapes.
Where? Oh. First off, like I want to address, like I know it's like a comedic moot point to be like in the we had to find porn in the wood, but still, as far as you can't take away a formidable experience of a young man, like not as a bit, but as that's how you went about.
There's generation
learning about yourself. I remember one buddy, his dad had stuff, but then there was like the booby traps of like a string in front of the drawer, so like the cabinets. If you opened it and then closed the string, it's like we got to put this here, and then this has to go back. And there was a thrill to it, and the VHS tapes. That was
VHS tapes were. I remember one time one caught in the VCR. Hey, if you're trying to learn a new language, you're probably like me and you're like, well, that train has passed, but maybe it hasn't. Maybe there is a way that you can learn bite-sized lessons that fit easily into your daily routine. Interested at all learning a language? Well, try Babbel. Babbel recognizes the real world connections at the heart of learning language. Like, you got to be immersed in it. They let you practice real life conversation step by step without the stress. You build the confidence to speak up if it matters, whether it's ordering a coffee to chatting with new friends. Babbel is just more than lessons. They even offer a large connection of podcasts where Babbel experts reveal language secrets and offer an inside look at local customs. At local customs, my dog won't leave me alone because she wants to learn a new language. She wants to learn English, and I won't teach her. Myrtle will never speak English because then she'll run this house. But if you want to learn Spanish, French, Italian, Russian, Japanese, there's so much you can learn. Here's a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now, you can get up to 60% off Babbel subscription at babbel.com/soder. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/soder. Spelled BABBEL.com/soder. Guys, the money game's tough. You don't know what apps to use, how you're going to give money, who you're going to get money from, and then you got to start using Cash App. Because Cash App is the way to go because it's a secure app that you can send money, you can receive money, and you don't got to worry about people ripping you off. Plus, Cash App just released a new status program for the way people actually spend called Cash App Green. It unlocks new ways for you to pay, get rewarded, and easily grow or manage your money on your terms. Now when you spend at least $500 a month with the Cash App card or Cash App Pay, you earn green status, which unlocks benefits like up to $200 of free overdraft coverage, huge, high borrow limits, big, and custom personalized cash back offers every Friday at places you love to shop. You love that. So you go get the thing you love and then you go, oh, I get a little money back because I buy a cake every Friday. cake every Friday would be delicious. Turn everyday spending into status with Cash App Green. Download Cash App today or visit cash.app/new to learn more about this and other great features. Launch it now. And for a limited time, new Cash App customers can earn $10 if they use the code CASHAPP10 in their profile at sign up and send $5 to a friend within 14 days. Terms apply. Cash App is a financial service platform, not a bank. Banking services provided by Cash App's banking partners. Prepaid debit cards issued by Sutton Bank, member FDIC. Cash App Green, overdraft coverage, borrow, cash back offers, and promotions provided by Cash App, a Block Incorporated brand. Visit cash.app/legal/podcast for full disclosure.
That was...
VHS tapes were... I remember one time one caught in the VCR, and I was trying to pull it out, and then I heard...
It's a house fire.
The garage.
Yeah, no, we just got to burn the house down.
I went like this. I went, well, guess what? Class A students, you're no longer a part of it. And I just cut. I pulled it out where you could see the thing was grabbing the film. And I just pulled it and then ran upstairs. Was like, fuck it, you're dead to me. But it's shooting your friend when the zombies are coming. Oh, you're God, like, I'll never get to jerk off to this again. But mom, just open the garage.
It's the two alpine climbers where the one guy was dangling on the rope. Like, to save me, you have to die.
That's what it is. I just had to cut it and cut my losses and run.
I had,
think the basis of that in a man's life of finding the excitement of finding ways to get it private truly makes you more romantic, I think, as you grow older, because you go, oh,
because it's special.
Yes.
Or the true risk. You had the bit about like trying to print something out and everything. Yeah,
100%.
So you had like the home computer thing.
I had the home computer thing. That was when I stopped fucking with computers on porn, was that moment. Because what happened is, you know, obviously I did it as a bit, but she just came downstairs and was like, what the fuck is this? And you were like, I don't even know. But then she hit me with she used to do my laundry. And I used to just...
God, I don't even want to think about this stuff right now.
And I used to just come in my old boxers. I would just cap it when I was like a teenager. I'd just be in bed jerking off.
The Mentos and the Coke bottle thing. Oh, this is a mess.
100%, dude. 100% Mentos in the Diet Coke bottle. This is exactly what it was. And my mom, just, you know, single mom, only child, that roommate relationship, she goes, do you know that cum smells?
Oh, like no.
She did laundry. I was like, God damn it, I can never jerk off. And so then that's when I went to Kleenexes.
I'm
to
getting get my own place, Maham. You're 14. I know. But I think this is best for both of us.
Let me out. I want to divorce you.
This is just to save us. I
want you to emancipate me. God, I need to go jerk off.
Our home computer was at the bottom of the stairs in the basement.
Okay.
And I was
like down the stairs?
Down the stairs. And I...
Was that on purpose? Never,
I don't know if I want to think about it that much right now. It was in the corner before. But now it's right... But never underestimate the horniness of a young man and the risk. Like, now this is going into criminal territory where you got guys that beat off in the park and everything.
Yeah.
Happy to say I didn't get, but as far as just in the home going like, this computer's a new thing and everything I want to see is just, it's right there.
And all you need is a clear window of privacy.
Or some courage.
Yeah.
And
oh, man.
I went for it and it was... I mean, I'm purely just suburban, white, like, so
sure.
the exotic, the variety, and it was, I remember specifically, it was like thick black ladies.
Ooh.
And it was, you know, I'm of an era where I was like, oh, these, like, the real thin supermodel things.
Sure.
And I was just, now I could see the things that I always wanted to see.
Look what an actual butt looks just, like.
Oh, good God. And then just the door... At the top of the stairs opens. It's just my mom like you want corn or peas or something. And my choices were, you know, stay there.
Don't move.
Cover, but trying to click off everything on a computer with like just nothing but windows that are open.
Yeah, yeah.
Or was on a rolling office chair, just push off out of sight.
That's kind of genius.
I pushed off out of sight. You see exactly what's on the computer. but plausible deniability. You didn't see me in the area with the computer.
Sorry, Mom. I think we got a horny ghost.
I don't, yeah. What? Were you looking at this?
I think Dad was looking at that juicy black asses.
Why are you still sitting in the chair? I was doing a thing. I'm checking the wheels. But to hear that scoop, you hear the rolling across linoleum.
Yeah. What is?
Sorry, Mom.
Did she watch this stuff?
I'm sorry.
What did she do? Did she just go, Kyle, and then leave?
It was a very much a Midwestern, just a...
Well, dinner will be ready in 20.
We're gonna focus on our daughter. We're gonna make sure that one gets on the straight and narrow.
My big thing, because our computer sucked, and that, you know, we had like the dial up, as did you, but it was so difficult to watch videos. Were like not even a thought. It was mostly pictures. But I remember a tape of like 3 B movies, like titty movies.
Yeah.
Shannon Tweed movies.
Oh, yeah.
Remember Shannon Tweed?
Yeah. USA Up Late? Or, I mean,
USA Up All Night. It's a
different gal for that. Up All Night. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But it was usually on Cinemax. Those were the Cinemax movies.
Yeah.
Like, the Cinemax movies were like Shannon Tweed movies, mm-hmm. where she was a detective and all of a sudden there was a handsome man that might be connected to the murder.
It was the Emmanuel series.
Yes. It was like Red Shoe Diaries.
Oh.
Remember those?
My man Duchovny.
No one remembers David Duchovny peddling smut.
No. He was just in the first, he was just reading the diary.
Can she love people? He's like on a beach with a dog.
Yeah.
And it'd be like, I fucked my mechanic. Mm. he's the guy in the park.
And here we go. And here's what you wanted to see.
Yeah. There's an episode with Cato Kalin where Cato Kalin's like the guy that bangs her.
Like
Red Shoe Diaries.
But pre-murder.
Pre-94.
So OJ, he had a little work.
Cato was working.
Cato was getting some gigs.
That's why he's in the guest house. One of these Red Shoe Diary episodes take off.
Yeah, you couldn't be a total slob and get the guest house.
Well, maybe if OJ didn't kill, he would have been Mulder.
Okay. This is what they're going to know.
Or Fox, yeah.
OJ, this is really going to screw up my career.
Yeah, he goes, OJ, I was up for X-Files. Now the narrator got it.
Do you remember? I was talking about this with somebody else.
And it was Fox.
And
then, I know.
And,
I called Fox Mulder, which I know. You got to remember that. David Duchovny played Fox.
Yeah, I know, but I'm going to screw up, like, according to the true fans. But do you remember a series, and not to commandeer this episode, make it all about porn, middle-aged men talking about porn.
This is why people listen to this.
All right, well, let's dive deep.
There's people in the office right now that are going, I want to talk about 90s porn with Kyle Kinane and Dan Soder.
Yeah, there's a couple Reddits. I'm like, yeah, let's fall down this one.
Fine, why not?
Let's see what before they really figured out surgery.
Oh, really?
Oh, just like, well, I don't even know what I'm looking at right now.
Yeah.
God bless. It looked at it more of like a stunt thing. Like, look at what you did with your body.
But isn't that what you felt like the first time you saw actual porn? Not Cinemax?
I remember the real rascal of a kid in junior high. It was one of those, like, you live in an apartment. I don't know kids. I mean, we didn't have money, but just live with your dad.
The middle class was doing so well in the 80s that if you lived in an apartment, kids were going, what happened?
It was one of those, like, okay, you're getting your life back together.
Especially if you're in the burbs. I'm talking about if you're in, like, a Midwest or the Colorado. Like, we would go to this kid.
Yeah.
This kid that lived in a town. There was a townhouse complex right across the street from my place. And I remember going into his house one time. These new kids moved in. And we were like, these new kids are so cool. That they're dangerous and they'll ride their bikes so fast. And they smoke cigarettes like we do. And then we went into the kid's house. And the kid's dad was a Klan member. He had like his shirt off and he had a huge Confederate flag on his back. And I remember being like, well, I'm not coming over here with Johnny, who's my black friend.
How old were you at the time?
I was 11. I was maybe 12.
And you knew what that stuff was then. I mean, I guess saw 12, that. No, 12, you,
no, you know.
Okay.
I was like, oh, well, man.
You were at Denver or where?
I was in Aurora. So I was Southeast Denver.
You got plugged into that. But pretty you just, early on, well, was, out in
I saw Colorado. I saw that shit because of where my dad lived. My dad lived in Lake County, which is 3 hours north of San Francisco. Very rural.
Oh, California and outside north, of the north. Cities is...
it's tough.
I remember going to Lancaster for a gig when I was in L.A. People just had swastikas spray painted on the hood of the car. Like, there's nothing to be afraid of for them out there.
There's a lot of great people in Lake County, but people know what I'm talking about if they live there, that there is a racist enclave where you go. And my dad was like in trailer parks getting drunk with like anybody.
Well, and how far out from like Humboldt was that?
Oh, no, it was like, it was east of Ukiah, about 45 minutes east of Ukiah, off the 101. So, but it's like beautiful, but the people there are terrifying. Some good people. There's a lot of great people there. There's a lot of very terrifying people.
As with every area, yeah.
But when you're plummeting into the depths of alcoholism in your 40s, you're not hanging with the best and the brightest. And when you're a little boy's visiting you, you're exposing them to people that are, in my own experience, quite terrifying.
I think I visited that apartment. Yeah. It was where I first saw porn.
That's exactly
it. Back around, it was one of those like, oh, this is one of those apartments where you have to walk downstairs to get into.
Do you know what?
Your windows are so high on the wall.
You know what the gayest I felt in those situations were? Was they were all drinking. We went to the lake, like these like swimming spot or whatever, and my dad and his girlfriend and her fucking white trash family were just drinking. Fuck, shout out to Bonfire fans. They remember Fat Tit Neil. It was my dad's girlfriend's son. He had giant nipples and tits, and he was so mean to me because he liked my dad. He was 14 and I was 12.
Oh, okay.
So he was mad when he found out that my dad had an actual son. Oh, and
he was...
I was just like a nice kid, and I was living in a good suburb. You know, I was living in like a suburb of Colorado. So to him, I might as well have been Richie Rich. And I came and he was like, this fucking pussy. Fat Tit Neil straight up bullied me. But we were out all day with them. And the gayest I ever felt hanging out there, or like the prissiest I ever felt, was my mom would feed me dinner every night between 6 and 7 p.m.
Yeah.
I had regular meals. I had a good life with my mom.
You were cared for.
I was cared for.
You were loved.
My mom loved me. My dad, they were like blackout drunk, and it was like 11:15. And I remember being like, can we have dinner? And everyone was like, oh, who's the priest? And I was like, I need to eat. And I was like really getting like, I was getting like bitchy. I was getting raised by a single mom bitchy. Where I was like,
get a load of this guy and his basic needs.
Yeah, that's exactly. But you know what's funny is no one is there to tell me like, yo, you were right. So I just spent years being like, I'm fucking, I don't know, I'm a priest.
I mean, how are you supposed to gauge? I mean, I can only imagine, especially if that's your dad too. Like, oh, that's not the part of your family. It's not like, well, this is how my friend's family lives and I won't be around.
Yes.
This is my dad.
This is my dad who I don't talk to a lot. So it was like, I'd see him once every 2 years. So you're also going like, well, I want you to like me, but I'm very hungry right now. I'm also a 12-year-old boy.
It's your fault for not getting enough Fritos by the pool.
That's exactly what it was. That's exactly what it was.
Shit, man.
Where he went like...
I was trying to think of the shittiest white trash corn chip. It's plain Fritos.
And I will say to this day...
Why are we eating scoops when there's nothing to scoop?
Ask anybody that knows me. First off, that's a little too highfalutin for my taste. I like the single skinny Fritos. Because then you can snap them off. And you also can make them with... into a sloppy Joe, pretty well, or a pile of Fritos with meat, with like meat witch on top.
All right.
It's really
I want to correct a few things that you said right in there. Meat witch?
You know the can of meat?
It's man witch.
Man witch.
Which isn't better than what you said.
But man witch sounded in my head. There's no way it's man witch.
No, I think we grew up in the same kind of level and income. Sure. That's why I was like, it's man witch.
Man witch. You know what's funny though?
Don't call it meat witch.
Man witch.
That's a type of porn we were talking about.
Well, man witch sounds like a kind of porn. Man witch sounds like a gay threesome.
It's a burly gal. It's a meat witch.
That's a meat bitch. It's a meat witch, meat bitch.
Oh, get up in that cauldron.
But then I remember like doing the passive aggressive thing of being like, hey, so, like looking through their cupboards. And then finally my dad was like, do you want that? And then they made me the saltiest hamburger helper. And what made me mad is my dad could cook.
Yeah.
So that was like a shitty meal, but he was just blackout. And he was like, yeah, salt, meat, noodles. There you go, you little fucking queer.
This didn't help anybody. This didn't help the hamburger. It didn't help me.
And then I had to lay on that couch, that itchy ass couch, and sleep there that night. And just my dad was like banging some white trash lady. So he did the thing where it was clearly after they fucked. He was walking to the bathroom in his underwear, and he was like, you doing all right, buddy? Like out in the living room, and you're like, I'm fine.
You just you inconvenienced his.
Yeah, that was it. But that's what I mean. Like you, like
I mean, you've dealt with this. So I'm not
when you go to an apartment
on your behalf right now. But yeah, that sucks. That's a sad
it just
story.
Sucked. But that's what I'm saying. Like that was always to me when I would go to a kid in a tough apartment's life. It would always in my head go like, This is what living with dad would be like.
That if and not and not to generalize, like if it was with the mom, I'm like, she's trying to get it back together. Yeah, yeah. She's working two jobs, and we're gonna in this. We're kid. If it was with the dad, I'm like, oh, there's no role model here.
Oh, you go. And
that's why this kid.
You're gonna be raised by a wolf.
I was only friends with this kid because his last name started with a K. So just like in junior high, like, oh, okay, you're the guy that sits behind me. So I guess we're friends. I saw him at the Addison State Fair or like a community fair where they had the booths and everything. Nah, come on, we're gonna go to my place. I live in the apartments by the junior high. We're in junior high. I'm like, all right. He goes, it's Michael Jordan's greatest hits. And he put his in it. It's just mid butt fuck porn. Just and I did not know that's how sex even worked.
Wait, did he prep you at all?
Nope.
He just went.
It's like, nah, watch this tape. Michael Jordan's greatest hits. And then just put it in.
Was he doing the thing where he was watching it being like,
something. At that moment, I had never seen penetration.
Did it?
I think because it was up? Still, even in the magazines, it was still kind of like,
yeah,
she's over there and there's a guy like, hey.
Yeah. Or she's like squeezing her boobs together.
Something that still wasn't that I recall. And it was close. It was one of those.
They did a lot of close shots.
I didn't see the two people.
Yeah.
Dick and vagina, dick and vagina. I'm like, what's this? This is Michael Jordan?
Yeah.
This is Michael Jordan?
Which one's Michael?
This is also in the Bulls dynasty. So I'm like, wait. I'm not a sports guy, but I don't remember this happening. Was this the third time they went to the championship?
I'm guessing the ones getting fucked are the Trailblazers?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Is that the one? Here,
like, trying I don't to even know enough about the sport to know how to reference it.
Oh,
but then
no.
He just put that on, and then he's like, yeah. I was like, who? I gotta go meet up with my other friends because this feels like it's dark in here and I don't know. I don't even know you. We're in a basement, but it's also your whole house. And I gotta. That I'm gonna feeling go to church of like, this weekend.
That feeling of like you're drowning and sad.
Yeah.
But you can't show to other kids. Where
I'm supposed to be enthused with. Yeah. But this makes me feel like I don't want to be around. Like, and that's why I never understood porno theaters.
Yeah.
Like, let's all hang out and watch this movie together. Like,
well, that's what? Also what a lot of...
Yeah, that's how you had to consume it back in the day.
But. That's what it was. Growing up, you would be around your friends and they'd be like, oh, I've got... My friend had a black box on his TV.
Oh, okay.
So he'd get the Spice Channel. And I remember something that in hindsight was very wrong was we all watched the Spice Channel and then we would make fun of each other for getting boners. Where he'd be like, I bet he's got a boner. Meanwhile, I was tearing through denim. I just had my arms over it being like, I watched the girl's boobs bounce. I remember, because this is still softcore porn. They don't show the penetration in Spice.
You
so what they do
you
is
didn't
they
need it.
No, they would. I'll tell you, and this is how simple it was. This is why I think we need to outlaw online porn for kids, because there was something about being 13 years old and watching their bodies collide and move in a way that I went, oh, like, I just did like, it's, holy it, shit, it's that's a, doing something to
it's
me.
It's a real jazz. It's about the nudity you don't see. Yeah. That you got to fill the gaps up and have and develop your sense of imagination.
Yes.
And hopefully that grows into an appreciation for art and creativity. But right now you're like, I think what's happening where the screen cuts off is it's going in and there's a sound.
And it looks like it feels phenomenal for everyone involved.
I think,
but her boobs bouncing, it was a spoon. They were having like spoon sex. And I remember her boobs bouncing made me go like, I gotta go home right now.
We were at the one kid's house whose parents were never around. I think it was an open like, using the bathroom.
That's great.
And nobody would like.
Yeah. No one's like, yeah, go ahead. No one talks shit like that.
And it was the one, the first kid, like, what'd you do in there? Cranked it.
Yeah. They're
like, oh, that's. We're just going to be cool like that?
Yeah.
All right, I'm up.
That is, you know what's funny is those kids, I feel like we should track them like buffalo because they're going to be the most successful in life. Because they go, I'm myself and I just say what I do. Like they go, I jerked off and I'm comfortable with it. And you go, well, you should be president.
Well,
because the rest of us are not. We're not going to be there for 3 years.
There's a part of me that would argue with like, do you think that, especially with stand up and how much like, I've done, you know, you get booked on like, this is not happening. Like,
sure.
It's a story that's creme. Like, that's my whole, I've put everything out there.
That's why.
But the idea of shame of like, nobody I know has shame. And that's a good thing about being like, I'm open about this. Like, sure. What, they're beat off.
Yeah.
What am I, be secret about it? I know what I did. I'm telling you. But maybe a little bit of it. Maybe a little bit back.
You know, I wouldn't mind a little shame coming in, like the whoring that we're seeing in society of just like, I guess the example is celebrities with commercials where you go, I don't feel like it used to. I mean, I did a joke about it, but it is true. It used to be like when you saw a celebrity doing a commercial, you'd be like, oh, they need the money. They're hard up for work and they need to pay their bills. And now it just seems so like fans make excuses for celebrities doing commercials that you go, no, we should shame them. We should be like, you don't have enough. You don't have enough money. Because a little shame goes a long way. I think you're right. We don't have shame, but I also think we did feel shame and we learned how to work through it by making fun of it.
I had talked about this and I got blowback on a different podcast about hearing that like some celebrities will just do a day's worth of work for a commercial, get $1 million and they can put that right into a charity or something. Like, you want me for an afternoon? I can alley-oop this amount of money over here. It's like, granted, they probably have that money already. Yeah. They could just give it. Yeah. But it's also the ones, if you don't hear them talk about that, because it would be tacky.
Sure.
Then I, just for my own hope in the good of the world, I want that to be happening.
And I don't think it is.
I don't think it is.
No.
But I hope it is on days where I don't want to be absolute doomsday Armageddon about the world. So I will choose to think about certain situations that way. But also,
Zoc, doc, baby, man, have I been worried about little pains in my hips or a little bump on my arm? And then I just sit there and I go, am I dying? Should I be scared? Should I be worried? Well, guess what? If I had ZocDoc, which I do, I've actually had it for a while. ZocDoc is a free app and a website that lets you find and book high quality in-network doctors so you can find someone that you love and feel comfortable with. That's the most important part. You want to find a doctor that you feel comfortable with, where you just go like, all right, I know the office. I love knowing a lady's name at the office of a doctor, being like, Nancy, is he available next week? Boom. So stop putting off those doctor's appointments and go to ZocDoc.com/Soder to find and instantly book a doctor that you love today. That's ZocDoc.com/Soder. ZocDoc.com/Soder. Thanks, ZocDoc, for sponsoring this message.
The idea of celebrity is different now.
Well, it's so fractured.
Everybody can have access to some level of fame and make money off of it.
Yeah.
I'm split both ways. I could be a hypocrite because there's some days I'm like, get paid. How are you going to get paid?
Yeah.
It's a shit show out there.
Well, also, there's two people that came through comedy when there were gatekeepers and it was industry heavy and you watched all that. Drawing back on how I felt then to people now, I go, fuck yeah, get your money.
Yeah.
Go around these motherfuckers. Fuck these people. But then there are days where I go, is anybody going to care about the quality of content?
I heard that. People, the average people, well, they'll watch 20 minutes of an hour special.
Yeah.
I'm like, I spend all the time trying to make sure the end is the best part. And nobody, like somebody coming in, just eating the fries, slapping the burger off the plate.
I was just going to say, yeah, eat the stuff off the cake, but I don't like the cake. And you go, baking the cake's the hardest part.
Nothing. Nope. Ah. I'm going to get 6 cameras. So I can make sure I get 30-second clips because I'm not even concerned with making a special anymore. I'm concerned with making a commercial to sell tickets to come see me live. I still want to do that. I still like that part of comedy.
The live part is, if you don't enjoy the live shows, this is what I tell them all the time, the second that you don't like doing live shows, legitimately pack it up, because there is, outside of paying your rent, there is zero
have to get mired in like comedy talk. Yeah. I know it's easy to do, but
if we slip into it, we slip into
but
it. I'm not going to get tased.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I'm going to get every comedy and then the industry. But I'm fascinated with dudes that you find out that some of these people, they're open about it. Like how much money they spend on a social media team.
Yeah.
To like, and I'm not saying that if you have a good product and you spend a ton of money to get that product in front of people, and then they like it.
Especially as you escalate, or as things escalate, as you get bigger.
Yeah. Sure. So, but you could spend all the same amount of money some of these other comics are spending. And if the act sucks, you're not going to get back. But I'm like, where's the rest of your life?
Well, there
is. Okay, because I like you do this show.
Sure.
I don't, how many?
I do this in stand-up.
You don't have any other?
I do the regs twice a month with Bobby, Kelly, Lewis, and Joe.
Okay, that's a twice a month thing.
Twice a month.
These guys have like four podcasts.
Yeah, man.
They got a camera crew that opens for them.
Yeah.
They then
the camera crew opening thing I've seen. We've seen that a lot.
And I understand it.
Listen, everything. This is where stand up bleeds into gun ownership. Where you're like, I understand
both of these things.
I
live in Oregon, dude. Strapped.
I love it. Yeah. Going out into the woods of Oregon and shooting is one of my favorite things in the world. Shout out Sumner. I'll be doing that soon when I see you. You need a gun for protection sometimes. Sometimes you can be a gun enthusiast. But then sometimes that can bleed into you just being a full-on psychopath and having way too many assault rifles and guns that you don't need. And you're going like, hey, I think this is a bigger problem than you protecting yourself.
Yeah, my concept of how the world works is warped now.
Yeah.
Because some of these comics, I mean, whatever, don't have to name names about it. And I don't think they're bad people, but I don't need to out who, if like I know how much people spend on social media. But what about the part where you...
write jokes
or just live your life like because I'm in a stage now where I'm like and I'm not wouldn't even do that much I just tour and I'm trying to like I just want to
but I think that leaves live my
life. Like that, I'm here in New York like so what sets you got like none I did the Bell House on Friday I did Jersey City Saturday I did the thing
you I'm know what
trying to cram myself into five spots a night while I'm here I'm gonna want to see my friends but
as someone that lived like that for a very very long time
yeah
it becomes a fear of, and I'm only speaking for myself in this, it was a fear of slowing down, thinking it would all get taken away.
I'm fighting it right now. That's where my calendar's stacked.
Yeah.
It's not spots in town, but it's every weekend.
But I'll tell you right now what I learned, and I think where I was fortunate enough to learn this during COVID, when the road did get taken away and all this stuff got taken away, and then when it came back, I had a different attitude of like, well, now I have a life. Now I have a fiance and a dog and I want to do stuff. And it became more effective for me to not be doing 90 things and just focus on two things. Now, I don't think in the current age, that's probably the most, the way you're going to make the most money and all that stuff. But I think you'll be sane enough to enjoy what you do have.
I'm trying to get over worrying about, am I going to level up? Like I might not.
I would say you're one of the
level I'm at is pretty good.
You're one of the greatest comics in my mind of all time.
Get the fuck out of here.
I am so serious. You're on a level with Rory Scovel, with Nate, with Shane, you're one of these guys with Sean Patton was always one of those guys for me where I was
hanging out with him last night.
Yeah. I watch you do stand up and you're like, want to grab everybody else and go, that's what you fucking do. The first bit I ever saw you do was the rehearsal show at Gotham for Live at Gotham on Comedy Central. And you did your hold over on a bike bit.
Oh, yeah. I was being a little bastard on that show.
And, dude, it was great. But I saw you that night at the rehearsal for Live at Gotham. And then you did Cabin Bar. You did Comedy as a Second Language at Cabin Bar. And you're just one of those guys like Kurt Metzger it used to be when I would watch him that I'd go, I want to quit. I don't think I can come up with that. I don't know how he came up with that. It doesn't make me angry at you. It makes me hate myself.
I love seeing those guys.
Yeah, and that's why I think there's a delicate balance of. I think what happens is people get success and then they shut the door. They just close the door and they go, well, I gotta only worry about how I'm gonna shoot into the other level.
Yeah.
But I think the real success is staying grounded and like seeing guys where you go, fuck. I want to go do stand up and find a bit like that.
That's why Portland's great because I can still go watch people doing their headline spot. Like watch what the final product's supposed to
be. Sure. That's what I love about New York City is I can catch someone like Ethan Simmons Patterson or I can watch Peter Ravello and I can watch him do 15 minutes and go, what the fuck am I doing? What the fuck am I doing on stage? And then you go and you go, well, I have two choices. I can either start shutting all that off and going like, I'm the best, go Howard Hughes, Kleenex box on my feet, go crazy and kind of insulate myself. Or you just like, get better. Just go do four fun jokes.
Or just bomb more. Like, stop being scared of bombing. I'll get us out of this comedy tailspin.
By the way, there's people, this is what I always find out, because I'll hit the eject button first on the comedy talk. But then there's been a lot of fans when I've been on the road recently that are like, hey, I know you're a stand-up comic. Mm. I'm fine with you talking about it. It's just when I started the podcast, it was like, stand-up comic, and that shit sucks. But talking to you, I'm talking to a guy that I'm not.
I love it so much, I don't want to ruin it, which is why I can't do five spots in a night. And I'm going to take all summer off to go live my life.
Yes.
And then when it's time to go back on the road, here's all these things I was thinking about. And I think they're fun ideas, and I don't know if they're going to be good jokes yet, but you're going to watch me bomb a little bit, but it's because I got fun ideas. Here's jokes that are jokes, because I know how jokes work, because all I do is go see people tell jokes every night.
It's the thing also for you, where you bring all this stuff that happened to you, and then you like put together the puzzle of the bit, and you go, shit.
That's always fun.
That's the best part.
You found all the edge pieces of the jigsaw puzzle. Yeah. It's going to be a picture. It's going to be a whole picture.
And then it doesn't happen for a week, and you get frustrated, and you're like, this is fucking
the worst fucking comic ever.
But I feel like...
I'll start driving for Lyft.
Yeah, but that should be the energy. Comedy's popularity is about to go away. Its mass appeal is...
I fucking hope so.
It just is.
I hope so. I want this. This bubble has been stretched so thin for so long.
You know what?
And I'm looking forward to the tourists falling away.
Yeah, it's filled with tourists.
When we could talk about the weird late night pornos where it was like RC cars, like they were like a commando unit of big titty ladies.
Yeah.
If you want to bail out on the comedy thing.
I'll always talk about that.
I wonder if you've seen those series of movies.
They could sell me on anything. I was a teenage sex mutant. Do you remember that? And he had the thing that came out of his head and the women would get naked. Saw it at my friend Justin's house sleeping over. Can you look it up? I was once a teenage sex alien.
Okay, if we're going late.
Because this is like late.
Do you remember when they did like a Cinderella parody, but she had like a snapping pussy or something instead of the slipper? And so the prince had
she just had a tight pussy?
It would like make a noise or something. Yeah. Like even as a kid trying to be horny, I'm like, really taking me out. Yeah,
this was first thought.
Suspension of disbelief is destroyed right now.
It was called Dr. Alien, a 1989.
Dr. Alien.
Dr. Alien. That was the piece. But I remember that lady. Dude, I remember that lady. Judy Landers. Shout out Judy Landers. Damn.
Back when you could be a sex symbol named Judy Landers.
Look at her and just have the blonde hair. We'll put the picture up of Dr. Alien. The alternative title. The film was also released under titles I Was a Teenage Sex Maniac and I Was a Teenage Sex Mutant. Just like Manwich. I know the answer, but I try to change it to make it right. I know I got to go with my heart. The film's plot centers on an unpopular honor student.
Couldn't read that in the TV guide that I was just like, oh, no, Dr. Alien. They'll know.
They'll know.
It's on at 11:30. They'll know.
And it had the little, it's a nudity and sexual content.
It's got Judy Sanford. What's her name?
Judy Landers.
She's got Judy Landers
in it. And she was Miss Zenobia, her sexy biology teacher.
Oh, I thought that was like a country that's no longer from a beauty pageant.
They got bombed in 1996. That was part of the Yugoslavia.
That was part of Czechoslovakia.
That was when they... Wait, was that Bosnia, Herzegovina, and xenophobia? This is what I remember. Wesley becomes a chick magnet whenever a phallic stalk emerges from his head. So it'd be like an alien dick would come out of his head.
Yeah.
Wesley begins xenophobia, which may have something to do with the fact that she isn't from Earth. But yeah, that was it. I was a teenage sex mutant.
Now
I want to find Snappin' Pussy Cinderella.
It was one of those ones where there was that series of movies where like they were like commandos in a jungle, but like the bikinis were camouflage. That's how you go undercover.
Yeah.
and then
they were in heels always.
Yeah. They were like, but then there was also, it was a one director and also he always used remote control cars or airplanes to get a bomb under the enemy's Jeep or something. So I was like, well, like that.
I love RC cars.
There's boobs.
Yes.
And then it's going to blow stuff up and then they're going to take a shower.
The mixing
this has got everything I want.
That's why when people today go like, you're a pro wrestling fan, did you ever hear a glow? And you go, motherfucker. You think a little boy that got boners and loved pro wrestling wasn't dialed in to glow? I told you, I did, body movement made me almost come in my pants. Of course, these bitches were slamming into each other.
So I always tried to like, I always thought like that MMA was the logical conclusion between drag and wrestling. Or that wrestling was the logical conclusion between MMA and drag.
It's violence.
It's pageantry.
It's absolutely
outfits. It's characters.
No one wants to admit that loves professional wrestling. It's the gayness that is endearing. It's like the pageantry of it is endearing because you go like, the match is fun. The stunt fighting is fun. But it's everything around it.
It's a show.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened. I look at my youth and people are like, well, I was into wrestling a bunch or you were into sports. And I'm like, I wasn't into anything. And I'm like, what was I doing outside of just tearing out pictures of tits?
After just going through
so they could shower them. I'm like, if I had these other interests, maybe there's like a well-rounded kid that's kind of horny, but I'm like, I'm looking back, like that's the only defining thing I got going on. It's not like what other interests.
But did you skateboard?
I was a skateboard BMX kid. Yes. But also I never was obsessive the way just other kids. Like you have the time to be obsessive about something and know all the names and you have all the accoutrement. Like I'm going to get this, I'm going to have this on my cake for my birthday. It's going to be a WWF cake or something.
Fuck yeah.
And I didn't have.
Had a couple of those.
Yeah, I was just like, I don't know
what it was. Like. 100% escapism.
Yeah.
It was wrestling was a way where I could just watch conflict be resolved in front of my face in a way that was satisfying.
That the world wasn't providing for you.
Yes,
100%. This is giving me closure on some things.
100%. 100%.
There's a good guy and a bad guy, and most of the time the good guys win. Sometimes the bad guy win, and that's how the life is.
To Kyle, you're
occasionally
nailing
unfair.
You're nailing it. And then I obsessively got into sports because I liked sports.
Yeah.
But I also realized if I knew who everyone was and I could talk about sports facts, when I'd visit my dad and he worked at a bowling alley bar, I could sit there and talk to the other men and they'd go, hey, this kid isn't a queer. They'd go, I like your boy, Gary. And I'd be like, 49ers are fucking 7-1, and Steve Young has 17 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. And they're like, this little fucking weirdo.
Yeah, all right, that's more numbers than I was planning on talking about, but all right.
But it would always be a thing of kind of like, it was rooted in people-pleasing. And like, because I liked it, so it was something I could talk about.
And you got acknowledged in a positive way for it.
Yeah, but like, I always wish I was ballsy enough to be a skateboarder.
I was never good at it. I was the guy that would sit there and shit talk. I mean, it was always about being a smart ass. There's the guy that's good.
Yeah. Shout out Chris and Mitch. They were the best out of my friends.
Greg was the guy that had the balls to try things. And the rest of us drank 40s and mocked each other for not trying things.
That was.
And then also like all ages music. Like once I could start going to see punk shows in Chicago. That is what I did every weekend.
That's awesome.
And so I did have the thing that I got obsessed about, but that was not.
That was, by that point,
alienated me from the adults around me even further.
That was, then they go, wow, this kid really doesn't want to talk to me.
Yeah.
Going to punk shows, they're like, whoa.
Yeah, green hair at Christmas. Is that for Christmas or just because you're like gay or something? All right. All right, this is fun. It's good. Let's go to Midnight Mass.
You know what? Video games were that for me. I could just go, like, I'm going to play video games. They go, I'm going to go play your little video games. It's like, so I don't have to talk to you.
Yeah.
Are you not picking up on this? I don't like you, Joe,
mom's
boyfriend. I want to go play WCW versus NWO Revenge on 64.
Go play your little video games. Now, don't bother me. I got this pile of scratch-offs I got to work through.
Dude, that's exactly. Dude, it really was like one of those things where you, as a kid, you just try to find. Now everyone's in their phone. So you don't have to go outside. But when you were a kid, you had to like find a reason to go outside. You'd be like, I'm going to go to the park and skateboard. But I would ride my BMX. I had a BMX bike.
Yeah, so I was always out. Not athletic, but just still out.
I feel like kids are still out. I feel like that's a thing that we do in our older age. We go, they don't do the thing, but I think they're still out. You like my friends that live in the burbs, I go out there and I see kids running around with bikes and shit.
Do you get, well, that's what I love. This whole like, we didn't wear helmets riding bikes. We weren't no pussies. I'm like, you also didn't have X Games on high def watching a guy do a double flip with a tail whip in the middle of it. And now you got a 7-year-old going, I'm riding off the roof. Yeah. Like, let him wear the helmet.
Yeah. Let them. If they're going to do crazy shit.
Yeah.
Also, they don't
And we did. We had kids with head injuries.
Yeah. I remember one kid at my daycare, like after school program, that had a head injury and had to wear a baseball helmet outside. And you're like, yeah, that makes sense. He spilled his brains
yeah,
one time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because he wasn't no pussy.
Yeah. But you know what also is? They also make helmets cool now. They're not as lame as they were.
It's not a hand-me-down motorcycle helmet from the garage.
Or the one with the big sponge on the side and it's pink with the visor. You can get a good helmet now. Yeah,
I mean, I still do mountain biking, so I'm going to go out. Yeah. I look like a dipshit every time I go out. But it's with a bunch of other middle-aged dudes that look like dipshits.
Better have wrist guards on now, brother. You better have everything on. Knee pads, elbow pads.
Just a helmet, man. I'm pretty...
Fuck, you're pretty rock
pretty
and roll.
Extreme, dude.
Is there a guy
until I fall? I'm like, why wasn't I wearing the wrist guards?
Is there a guy in your middle aged group that rides that is overprotected?
Oh, there's a. I mean, because it's a dentist sport.
Yeah,
there's a moneyed entry to like the bikes and everything.
Oh yeah, you got to like buy a good bike.
And that's what I like. Again, I don't know if you're planning on kids or anything.
Nope, no kids.
Okay, so
yeah,
that little bit of. But should I? Yeah. Buy whatever you want.
I do that with my cousins and their kids are like my friends and their kids will be somewhere. And my friend's kid, I'll be like, I want that. And they'll be like, we don't. And I go, you really want that? It's mostly piss my friends off. Where they go, don't do that. And I go, you want.
Just raise him.
Yeah.
That's your job. Yeah. Tell him.
I go, you got to tell him why he's feeling is wrong in this.
Yeah.
Me,
yeah.
I just got I threaten my friends with Amazon drops. I threaten them.
You're going to be home between 3 and 7?
Yeah, I go.
Some toys are coming. Yeah.
And I say that to him. I go, you fuck around and piss me off. I'm not gonna silence you. I'm going to send $300 worth of toys to your front door.
My uncle would do that, but he would just buy like loud Christmas presents.
Sick.
For my, like hit sticks, which were drumsticks with a speaker that you could play on everything.
I had a Hot Licks guitar.
Yeah, my sister didn't want them, but he's like, he wanted them because he wanted my mom to be like, what the fuck is this?
It's the best thing in the world. Being the
drums, but anywhere. God, Jesus.
The childless couple that presents the problematic present, where you go, yeah, absolutely. I don't got to deal with it.
Yeah.
I literally was telling one of my best friends, one of my oldest friends in the world, he has twins and a daughter, three daughters total, but two of them are twins. I was like, when you guys get into music, let me know. And they're little. And I go, do you guys want to play drums? They go, yeah. I go, I'll get you a whole kit.
Yeah.
I go, you play guitar. I'll get you an amp stacked to the sky.
Yeah, yeah.
It'll be like the beginning of Back to the Future.
Get you a stepladder to turn it on. Yes.
I'll get you a generator.
That's the basement I have now.
That's sick.
That's my basement. And there's little flashes of, come on. Shouldn't I be doing something? Like, what else? What else was I supposed to be doing?
Yeah. Hell yeah. And knowing.
And I live in a house. So now nobody else has to hear only the first half of Kickstart My Heart, except for me, for about 4 hours, depending on how many beers I've had.
And depending on how many beers you have, sometimes it's going to be locked in. Yeah. Sometimes it's going to be real sloppy.
It's never locked in. Just how it's just, can you hear the enthusiasm?
But that also is the thing of like, I understand I get that in life, and my friends get to feel a love that I'll never feel.
The reward of putting a good person in the world and seeing them develop, like, I guess that's nice.
But I also tell them, hey, I got the war chest, so if you ever need anything, we can help you out.
Yeah, I've kind of been like, this is here for...
Yeah, that's what you're supposed to do.
It's community funds.
If you pick the aunt and uncle life, if you pick to be the aunt and uncle in the world, you have to also understand that you have the war chest if they go, hey, my kid broke his arm and we can't fucking afford this knee dropping.
Yeah.
I got it.
Yeah.
Then,
what's your tasteful way of doing that without being tacky?
With my friends?
Yeah.
If they have a problem like that, which has happened.
Because you can ask, like, if you ever need help, just ask. And they won't ask.
I'll collect the facts.
Yeah.
And then I'll ask if I can help. And if they say no, and then we talk about it again... Sometimes I'll get a little aggressive and go, hey, what's your email? I'm going to put you in touch. And then I put him in touch with the adult that runs my finances.
Yeah, I got one of those.
And I go, can you help my friend out? And then they go, and then like my friends will wait until we're face to face again. And then they'll just like do like a hard shoulder grab and they'll go,
yeah,
thanks a lot. And you go, yeah, dude, right. Why don't you just fucking tell me first?
Let me show you what I would have bought with that money so you don't feel bad about where it went.
Did you think you can buy a human-sized fruit by the foot? Because you can. 6'4" of fruit by the foot.
You know how I got a thing with even numbers and I only have 7 mountain bikes right now? I would have just gotten another one.
You know,
because odd numbers creep me out.
It really is the thing where you're like, dude, please let me help you.
Yeah.
Because you're doing the hard thing of waking up and feeding them breakfast and telling them what numbers are and shit.
Get a back brace for your kids. Get one for the other one too. But just in
it's
case.
Also like, it's just fucking like, sometimes my friends will like come out to see a show and I know that they're like tight or whatever. And I'll be like, let me get you a hotel room. Why don't you stay at the hotel with me? We can hang out. You get a different room. And then you and your wife can have a fucking night in the hotel because you don't get that. Thing. But you don't. And then they go, and now I got to pay a sitter overnight. And you go, all right, well, fucking. I don't know, dude. I'm trying to do something.
Never mind. I don't. Don't worry about it. Don't come to the show.
Yeah. I don't like you anymore. We're not friends. There's no war chest.
Here's my bill for having to listen to you right now. Yeah.
Also, I'm sending $700 worth of toys, and it's just noisemakers.
Also, I want that fruit by the foot thing back.
Yeah.
I know you didn't finish it.
There's no way because I spent years engineering that. Kyle Kinane is one of the best working stand-up comics. Please go watch him live. You will see great comedy. That's just, even if he's working on new shit, you'll see great comedy. Watch Kyle Kinane, everything he has on YouTube.
I'm going to follow up that promise.
Yeah, just go watch good stuff. And Kyle Kinane's good stuff. That's a podcast.